As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and the disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The disciples conclude that this young man's blindness is a result of either his sin or that of his parents. It's a logical conclusion, because suffering for sin makes sense. Even the ungodly understand that crimes deserve some sort of punishment. To be sure, sin does demand punishment from God, who is just to punish, discipline, and even send the unbeliever to hell. He threatens to punish all who break his commandments, and he is perfectly just in doing it. Guilty sinners turning aside from the door to heaven really do bring hell upon themselves. Their unbelief means wrath and banishment from eternal life. Therefore, the connection made by the disciples between punishment and sin isn't far off. And it's not far off in our minds either. It's frightening enough when we commit a sin and it begins to weigh on our conscience. We know we did it. We know we're guilty. And God's law strikes us with serious and genuine terrors. We become afraid of his wrath, and rightly so. But it may be just as horrifying when we're suffering from some sort of ailment or bodily pain, and we begin to think that God is dishing out punishment for the sins we have done. This would mean my leprosy is because I sinned. My blindness is because I sinned. My broken leg is because I sinned. My bad back, obesity, liver disease, heart disease, stomach ache, brain aneurysm, cancer, all of it is from God because I sinned and must be punished as the criminal I am. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? Who did it? Whose fault is it? It's a question we ask when God's law accuses our hearts and convicts us of the true crimes we've committed, inciting within us feelings of forsakenness while we flounder in our misery, depression, and fear. Contrary to guilty feelings and thoughts of paying for sin with physical pain, Christ Jesus speaks to his disciples. He corrects his disciples. And he speaks to us. It was not that this man sinned, or that his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. The Lord does not ascribe this man's blindness to a sin he committed or to a sin of his parents. The reason is to display the work of God in him. His suffering is not a personal punishment to account for his crimes or those of his weak parents who are afraid to confess Christ before their persecutors. His blindness was to display God's work. And what is that work? Easily, we see the work of healing, right? The maker of heaven and earth makes mud, and he anoints the dead eyes of this man, and then commands him to wash in the pool of Siloam. He goes, washes, and sees. God uses the means of his own creation to give sight. Healing is a wonderful gift that anybody with a disability and chronic pain would sacrifice just about anything to have. This is the work of God, a divine miracle displaying the divinity of the Son of God, the Word made flesh. And if the text stopped right here, We might conclude that the reason for this young man's blindness was to demonstrate God's raw divine power to physically heal the sick and infirmed. As the disciples falsely concluded that this blindness had to have been because of some sin, on the other hand, we might conclude that healing is a sign of God's love and favor toward us, and we would be dead wrong. Dead wrong. Friends in Christ, the state of your physical body is not an indicator of God's love towards you. Great health, poor health. We do not look to the flesh to gauge God's opinion of us. This lengthy gospel reading does not end with physical healing. And I submit to you that physical healing is not the chief point of this text. You see, there's another problem, a much bigger problem than physical blindness. And that's spiritual blindness, unbelief. The enemies of God refuse to believe in Jesus, as indicated by their rejection of his healing on a Sabbath. Think about this for a moment. They are rejecting what God is giving on a Sabbath. To them, the Sabbath is about man offering to God the ability to refrain from work. And the blasphemy here is it turns the meaning of the Sabbath day on its head. The Sabbath was never about man. It was never a day on which man made offerings to God in order to placate his wrath. The Sabbath was a holy day. Man was to do nothing because it was God who did everything. God gave, man received. Holiness, food, drink. These were gifts of God on any given Sabbath. Therefore, to work and go out and gather for yourself was a rejection of the gifts of God on the blessed Sabbath day. Hence the reason for the death penalty upon those working on the Sabbath. To work on the Sabbath was to say you needed to provide for yourself. And what does this say about your God? It says what he promises to give you on this holy day is not enough. To call God a sinner for healing on the Sabbath reveals their wickedness and lack of faith. They don't want God's healing on a Sabbath because they have no faith. The story of the blind man doesn't heal with his physical sight. And sight in this passage isn't just physical sight. The young man gets into a spat with the Jews. They refuse to listen to this young man, and he is cast out. So now he's healed, but an outcast, because he stood firm in Christ and refused to worship Moses. And they tell him, they say, give glory to God. And you know what he does? Not their God, but the one true God. He will give glory to God because he refuses to believe what they believe. And when Christ approaches this outcast, Jesus finds him, right? The young man hears Jesus speak. He believes. And then he worships. He knows who the Son of God is. And he gives glory to God by worshiping Christ by faith. And that's the real miracle in this text. A sinner displays the glory of God by having faith in Christ, the true atonement for all of our sin, and the Holy One by whom we have communion with God. The real blindness here, it's not physical sight. That's not the biggest problem, but it is the blindness and failing to recognize who Jesus is, what you need, and what our Lord gives. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. During the ministry of Jesus, there would be sinners living in darkness who hear Christ and by his spoken word are brought to faith and believe in the one true God. We heard about this last week. Remember the account of the woman at the well. from some dusty little town in Samaria called Sychar. She goes back, she tells the people about Jesus, and these townspeople come and they listen to Jesus speak. They hear his preaching, and by his word, they believe. They are given sight to know where mercy and forgiveness is found. They hear Jesus speak to them and they confess, this is the Savior of the world. He is it. He is the one. Staunch, stubborn Pharisees have everything before them. They see the Old Testament scriptures. They know who Moses is. They are students of Moses. They have heard the Torah, the teaching of God, and yet they are blind to see the Messiah. Those who see just fine are blinded by the light. Suffering physical pain is excruciating. It is depressing. It can rob us of joy. And the devil, Satan, the great accuser and father of lies, is all too quick to point out that such suffering is because of your sin. Suffering is never fun, and it's as bad as you think it is. We don't like it, and we should be bold to pray to our Lord to take it away. And we should also be bold to pray the Lord's Prayer that contains that very important petition, friends. Let thy will be done. God's revealed will for your lives in Holy Scripture is very simple. It's that you believe in the one he has sent. It is that you have faith in Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sins and everlasting life where there is no sickness, disease, and tears. You see, the Lord Jesus suffered all of God's wrath for sin, every bit of it. There is no divine punishment left for sin because Jesus has taken all of it at the cross. All of it. There is no purgatory waiting for you when you die. That undisclosed amount of time in which you must be purged of all sin in order to have access to heaven. The technical adjective for that, or noun rather, is it is rubbish. Your suffering does not pay for your sin that has already been accounted for by the suffering and death of Jesus, who has paid for all of it by his blood. Any philosophical system, any theology demanding more suffering from you to pay for sin, you know what that does? It robs Christ of his glory and empties the cross of its power. What is the work of God in your life? It is the gift of faith to apprehend the true treasures that he gives. Please don't think your physical body is the most important thing you have. It is not. And I say that knowing many of you have serious ailments, chronic problems, excruciating pain that only gets worse the longer you are a Christian. The doctors have no answers. Family members are frustrated. Your friends stay away, and you feel lonely and afflicted. The sufferings you go through are no indicator of God's love for you, because you see God's rich, abundant love in the person and work of Jesus, who is always with his children, even in your suffering. And let me add, too, your suffering is always temporary. It is, as the scriptures declare, a little while. Have eyes to see where you are going and know what you have right now by faith deposited into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. You are healed of your sin. All of them. All of them have been paid for. The penalty for your sin? All of it has been met by Jesus at the cross. There is no payment demanded from you. Jesus has paid for everything. By grace, through faith, you are saved. Such is the work of your God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which really, truly does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds. In our victorious living Savior, Jesus Christ, from now until that blessed life everlasting. Amen.